Welcome, everyone, to the global gathering, Shamanism for Inspired Action, From Vision to Creation. This event is designed to share how shamanism can inspire actions and enrich our lives, our communities, and Mother Earth with deep love, compassion, gratitude, and joy. Shamans are the torchbearers of the inner light, taking action motivated by a deep sense of purpose. Shamanism is a way to tap into creative inspiration that comes from within, the spirit we are, that will lead us to take authentic steps towards what our hearts and souls desire most. We will discuss what is possible when the invisible realms are acknowledged and honored, when nature is loved and celebrated as a part of ourselves. We'll explore how surrendering to our helping spirits, to our ancestors, can help support our actions. Shamanism provides a space to deepen our inner knowledge so that new ideas, new thoughts, and pathways can emerge. And in a time when it can be tempting to define ourselves solely through external concepts, your participation at this global gathering will inspire you to reconnect with your inner wisdom and to act in alignment with your spiritual source. So it is with gratitude and great joy that I welcome everyone to be part of this global gathering. I'm Céline Roche, I'm your host for this event. And today I'm very happy to present you to Britta Hayden. Thank you, Britta, for being with us. We're so happy, so thrilled to have you here with us. And for those of you who don't know about Britta yet, so Britta Hayden is an author and motivational speaker from Sweden. She shares ancient and spiritual wisdom in her books, The Anka Portal Through Time and Space. And the second one is Arctic Portal, The Samic Force from the North. So in her life, she's been very much guided to visit interesting places and to meet people with knowledge to share. And also as a chemist and behavioral scientist, it's been a life-changing journey for Britta to go from the science field and into the magic of the spiritual world. She has extensively studied the ancient civilizations that was the inspiration of her two books. And through travels, other literatures, and with help from spirit guides, the books were written. So nature gives her the inspiration and the energy to follow her mission. So her first book is about the Inca in Peru. The second book is about the Sami people in northern Scandinavia. And she's now working on her third book that is about Mongolian old traditions. So her mission is to spread the hidden or forgotten knowledge of the cultures and the shamanic traditions in fiction books to a group of readers that normally doesn't know about shamanic traditions. What a gift for all of us. Thank you so much again, Britta, for being with us today. And so your topic is going to be the shamanic compass to wisdom. So before, you know, I jump into asking you all the questions that I want to ask you, I just want to share how incredible your experience was as an author to have the vision to write about ancient traditions. And in addition, your own experience, you know, of discovery about the shamanic way. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, first, thank you, Céline, for having me here. It's an honor and I feel really grateful to be here. And I'll try to explain all the things I've been around with. Well, it's when you're into the creative vision and you ask me about how the story is going, and it just kind of happens to me, well, as long as I remember, I've always been interested in other cultures and histories, and I think that interest and the curiosity and the sense that I just had to do things has taken me to where I am now, and it's been a path that's kind of following more and more.
Yeah, it's powerful. So could you explain your creative vision with the books and also tell us more about the shamanic compass?
Yeah. Because after my first book was done, I got like a clear vision, and it was a clear picture of a compass. And in every direction of the compass, it showed me like a place and a culture. And it started with Peru and the Inca, that was like in the middle of the compass. And up north, there was Scandinavia and the Sami culture. And to the east on the compass, there is Mongolia and that old culture. And the south will be the New Zealand and the Maori culture. And west will also be the New Mexico, Arizona culture. I don't know where it will be yet, though. But and I don't know why I just got these places, but it was like a photo kind of showed me, this is what you're gonna do. And I can't explain why just these places, or but eventually I would know why. But I've so far seen a lot of like similarities between these cultures. So that may be something that I will find out more about, I think. And I think the compass is it gives me the direction I need, because sometimes you kind of doubt yourself. Am I really going to do this? And it's a lot of work doing the research and the writing, but I just kind of had to do it because it comes so clear and it's so strong. It's like I can't get away from it, kind of feeling. And it will be a series of book that's called The Forgotten Time Portals. And that's because I dive into the re when I dive into the research, it's so much knowledge and wisdom and history that is either forgotten or it's been hidden from the world. And I think the world needs a lot of that knowledge and wisdom right now, especially in these times. And in every book, there's also a time portal that takes the main character, Annika, to the time when the culture was strong. So then I can put the research and the legends and the stories that I get into a more vibrant story, I think. And that's also the times where the shamans have the strong position in that culture, so I can get it in a natural way. But I also want, as you said before, I also want to write it so it's going to be an interesting and an exciting novel to reach the readers that are not into the spirituality or know anything about the culture. So they get like a good story, but also they will learn something about that indigenous culture that I think is important to kind of lift. But I also have the vision to like raise the situation of the indigenous people and the shamanic cultures, because I think they struggle hard, have done in a lot of times, but also it's getting stronger now, I think. So that's really good. But I also want to be clear that this is my limited perception, and that's just a small part of the knowledge and the wisdom or the history that's out there. So it's a little piece of contribution to this, I think.
It's beautiful and it's so profound. And I really like what you said about how it is important that we reconnect with this wisdom, this ancient wisdom that is still alive today, and that we listen to all the teachings and insight that are very helpful for what we're living in right now. Because it can be, overwhelming, as you said, as you wrote your books, it's a lot of work. Can you tell us a little bit more how you felt? You said, I feel like I have to do it. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's like I'm being forced. It's like I have someone in the back kind of pushing me towards direction. It's like when I now I give up now, it's kind of too much. But then after a while, it's like I get something that kind of gets my attention or helps me in a little way. So, oh well, I do a little bit more, and then, well, a little bit more. So
Support. It's a support.
it's a support, yeah.
And talking about support, How do you get it throughout, your vision and what you need to accomplish, and can you go a little bit deeper into how it, for you, how does it play for you? How does it come to you? And when maybe sometimes, you need that extra energy, how do you receive this?
Well, first, I'm very grateful for the support I get. And since I have the other background, I'm kind of first really didn't realize the signs I got. And I didn't listen very well to my inner voice, or at least I ignored it, being busy with the real life, with work and everything. But then when I started kind of paying more attention to it, I just thought, oh, that was coincident. And it was strange. And can imagine this happened. But the more signs and the clear ones I got, I just couldn't ignore it anymore. And I'm kind of following it when I get these strong to do things or to go places. Because especially when I wasn't following my path, I was kind of pushed back into line. So sometimes, you kind of left the spiritual path and did other things. But it always came back. It was like someone, okay, now it's time to get back again. And I think also it's like a new world opening up when I'm in this other kind of dimension thing. And I feel it's never boring or it's never dull. And it's like you could kind of explain it from going from black and white TV to color TV. It's so much more vibrant and energy and a lot more exciting. I wouldn't change it for the world. But now I can sense my helpers more clearly. And especially when I write, it just kind of comes to me. It's like I'm showing this inner movie, so I can just kind of write down the story I get. And it just keeps coming until the book is done. And then I can't write anything more. It's like stops here, And then I know it's another one coming. So I have to do another book. But it's also like you get the asking, do you need like to be somewhere or do something special to get the workflow when you write? But for me, it's been like a recorder, you put play and then it comes, and then you put stop and it stops, and then the next day you put play and then it keeps coming. So I've been very fortunate, very lucky to have this help. But I also get the help when if I'm asking something like where should this portal be, and I got this picture of places I've been, and then I know okay that's a good place for the portal to put. And I also, so it's like I have a kind of conversation with now, what do I do with this? How does she come from here to this place? And then I get this idea how she does it in the book. So it's real helpful. But mainly it's anyway, I get guided to places of interest and to meet people like you. And it gives me the knowledge and helps me in my work in many different ways.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I can hear how joyful, no matter, the action, because they are inspired action, you draw the energy that you need, and it's very enchanting. It's beautiful ex life experience. So could you tell us about your first book, The Inca Portal Through Time and Space, and how it all started, and the research?
Yes. Well, everything really started with that I forgot to cancel a book from my book club. And it was Anna Sörenson's book, The Legacy of the Inca Masters. That's also only in Swedish, though. But that was about the Inca culture. And it was so interesting that I really felt I wanted to go there. But I didn't have the money. I didn't have the time to go. So I kind of put my dream aside. But shortly after, I was going on a business trip. And at the train station, I was in a little store there buying snacks. And when I got to the counter of the store, there was a National Geographic special, and it was about Peru and Machu Picchu. Of course I bought it and read it on the whole train road right up to Stockholm. And then when I got to the hotel at night, I turned the TV on, and there was a documentary about Peru and Machu Picchu. And that was really interesting, of course. And then the next day at lunch, there was this woman sitting next to us in the table, and she had just came home from a fantastic trip, and she had been to Peru and Machu Picchu. And later that day, on the way back to the train station, I passed this chocolate store, and I said to myself, "Oh no, I'm going to be good. No chocolate today." But after some steps, I thought, "Oh well, just a few on the train ride." So I went into the chocolate store, and right in front of the counter, there was a praline called Peru, and next to it, a praline shaped as a pyramid. So I kind of gave up because I got so many signs. It wasn't, I mean, this was like for 2 days and all these signs. So I kind of booked the trip, and somehow it worked out with both money and the time. So I went there 3 times actually in 3 years. And I was there 2 times with Juan and Nunes Iván del Prado. And I was there one time with Puma, Freddy Quispe Singona, and that was marvelous trips. And they have so much wisdom and knowledge, and just being at the place is well, magnificent. So that really got me the sense of the area. And so, but I also, because that's the most important. I have to be at the places I write about. I can't just rewrite them on distance. I have to feel the nature and the energy in that area. It's like I have to connect to it somehow. But of course, I do a lot of literature study too. I dig into a lot of old books and new books that I can find. And of course, I put some of my own creative ideas in the book too, so I can get the story. But after my third book there, after my third trip, and that was in 2012, I got signs about being authors, writing books, commercial about writing courses, and so I couldn't avoid that flow either. It's like, hey, you got to do this. And I was often being awake, waking up in the morning. I kind of had someone that woke me up there. And it wouldn't let me be until I started writing. So, like every morning around 5 o'clock, I was up writing. So, it's kind of hard to be a writer with too much help sometimes.
I like how you say it. Yeah. So you were definitely aware. I mean, there was no way you could ignore the signs anymore. It was very, very present, very vivid everywhere you looked, right? So you listened to them. Yeah. How beautiful and inspiring, because we all receive, and this is the time that we need to that we. Have the choice, not me, but we have the choice to take the time to listen. So you've done that, and it opened up a whole new world for you. So it's really inspiring. And I want to say, how do you find the time? Because it's so much between the traveling and then, all the research that you're doing. How do you, and I know you said like I'm being supported, but how do you manage that as well? Because I think that beyond fears of being a voice, one of the other example is, oh, I don't have time. So how do you include that in your writing? How do you manage that?
Well, the time is a little hard because I also have another job. that I work with 90%. So it's a lot of weekends and nights and vacations that goes to this. But it gives me also the energy. And I spend a lot of time in the nature. I mean, I have to, that's where I get a lot of inspiration. That's where I get my energy and my calm. Like when I'm stressed, I go out in the nature. And that's also where I get the ideas, you know. So, and I just have to take the time, I think.
Yeah, I hear that it's a reciprocity, like you're giving the time, but then you get so much out of it, your well-being, your this magic experience, if I can say, of life and seeing life in color. So it's worth it. I think.
Yes, it is. But planning and like a structure to do it kind of helps. Like when I was busy, I was living in Gothenburg. While I was living outside Gothenburg, and I had I traveled like 2 hours a day, and I worked like 8 hours, and then I had like training, you know, fist training. But I always, you always get ahead 30 minutes every day. At least I'll write 30 minutes. And if you do that, and sometimes, well, it works with an hour this day, and then eventually you kind of add some. So even small efforts builds up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
Thank you for sharing that.
yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And now, if we go to your second book, The Arctic Portal, The Samic Force from the North. Can you also tell us, how you received the vision? I mean, you explained the compass, but for that one, how, I mean, this is your land, this is where you're from. So can you tell us about your experience?
Well, after the Inca portal, it was clear it was a cliffhanger. And I knew it had to be a continuation. And I knew there was a new book coming, but I didn't know what about. I didn't have a clue. So it's like, well, what is this going to be about? And then I get the thought of the Sami culture. And that kind of came to me also. And it's sad to say, but I really didn't know much at all about our own indigenous culture or people. We didn't learn very much in school at all. And I would say we probably heard more about the North America or other countries than our own. So it's been very interesting to doing the research, but kind of sad also. How we've been treating our own indigenous culture. But it's been really, really interesting, and a lot of things I want to kind of raise about that culture in this book. But as always, I got the help that I wanted. I kind of ended up in northern Norway at a Isegeisa. It's a Samic shaman festival with the shaman and snoids from Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Russia. And I met so many friendly and helpful people up there, and that shared their knowledge and their wisdom with me. So it was really fantastic. But also books came into my way, and documentaries of interest turned up. And also I got kind of like the stories coming to me, so I really got the information I needed. So and I even ended up skiing for 5 days from cabin to cabin up in the northern mountains. And that was because someone put on Facebook a note that she wanted a ski companion, and I thought, well, I haven't done that before, so that could be kind of interesting. And also that feeling, oh, I think I have to do this. I really didn't know why. And the first day when, you know, big backpack going 4 kilometers straight up the mountain on skis, I thought, Breda, what have you done? Will I ever make this? But for 5 days, we had all sun and no wind. And up in the northern mountains, that doesn't happen. The people say, this doesn't happen. I mean, you were so lucky. But I think I got the help, because otherwise I'd probably still be up in the mountain there somewhere. But that trip gave me the feeling and sense of the nature and the solitude up there in the mountain. So I could put that experience and the feelings in the book with my kind of own words. But it was also the place for the Arctic portal that I found up there. So that helped me with that too.
Oh wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing, and how we can be, overwhelmed and I mean, you had you for first you had you knew you had to go, and then it could be overwhelming, and you got the support. So I really like that you are expressing that, because it's part of the journey of following a vision. So thank you so much. It was I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're back.
And I also, when I was up in Isogai, there met this Sámi herbnoid, and she's been really helping me with the books. And she also happened to be like a Swedish teacher in the for her occupations, but she was re retired now, and she's helped me a lot with both reading the book before I, kind of got it out, and also about the culture. So I had a good companion to, is this all right? Is this, am I following the, is this like, what do you call it? Kind of true about the Sámi and everything. Since I don't have an indigenous culture myself, it was good to have that support with that too. And she also helped me with the next book on the way. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. So nice. And now you're about to write your you're writing your third one, about old traditions of Mongolia. And that's a powerful place to go as well. So can you tell us more where you are? I mean, whatever you can share.
Yes. Well, as you said, I'm right in the middle of it, and it's so exciting. And also here, I met a person with knowledge about Mongolia when I was doing the last with the Arctic portal up in northern Sweden. And so then I just kind of had to go there. You get the feeling I just had to go there. There's nothing else I can do. So I went there last year. And I had an amazing trip, and it felt like coming home when I went there. But there was one thing missing on that trip, and that was a connection to the older culture and the shamans. But fate helps again. And first, I got the book, Jack Weatherford's The History of the Mongol Queens, and that caught my attention. And then I was given the book Revelations of the Mongol of the Queens, and that's a book about the Mongol shamans that channel the queen spirit and learn about their history and wisdom. So the same subject that was now on my mind was that story, and about the time portal will be to Genghis Khan's time and the queens. And because it's so much we don't know from that time, and the history books doesn't say it at all, say it all. For instance, when he ruled, there was freedom of religion. Something we could learn a lot of today, I think. And the queens and the women had a lot of power and freedom. And so that will be a hint of what that book will be about. And this new year, I was up in northern Sweden to learn more about the Mongol shamanism from Mongol shamans that were up there. And so I could have that in my research too. And as always, I want to explore and get a feeling of the culture. And so now I know what minus 42 Celsius or minus 44 Fahrenheit feels like. And that's a temperature they often have in Mongolia at winter, or even worse. But the funny part was that this fall, I read a book about the Sud. That's a weather phenomenon in Mongolia. It's very cold and very harsh weather. And it's about minus 40 to minus 50 Celsius here. And I remember thinking, I wonder what that feels like. And now I learned I should be more careful what I ask for, because now I know what it feels like with minus 40. So I get what I want. But this May, I'll be back in Mongolia for some more research. And this time I have a help with a woman shaman from Mongolia. that will help me with the trip. So I'm excited to learn a lot more about the culture and like the old traditions here. And I also asked if I have someone helping me on this trip. And then I got this picture that I was drawing.
Oh, show us. Oh, wow. How powerful.
So I kind of feel safe going on this trip. I think I have a good
You
support
drew
there.
that, Britta. You drew
Yeah.
that from what you read.
Intuition. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Wow. So to wrap up a little bit, the three books you've worked on or you're working on, and I know that you're waiting to have the full compass, the full directions to before you can maybe give more conclusion, but already those three places, what can you say, what can you bring back to us that are commons, and what do we need to hear today? What do we need to be present to today?
I think what is most common is that the respect to the nature and Mother Earth. I think other cultures sometimes only talk about like the father and not about the mother. And I think that's also what I think maybe in these times you had forgotten to take care of the earth a little bit more. So I think that's the most common, but there's a lot of in the ceremonies that are also the same. How you offer to the like the spirits or the guides or for help and what do you call it? And like the humility with the respect for like other people and the nature and each other, I think. But also the joy. There's a different kind, I think, a different kind of joy when I'm meeting these groups. It's lighter and more welcoming, I think.
Thank you for sharing, your experience, and the wisdom that you really experienced and gathered, so we can all learn from it. So your books are in Swedish.
So
Any
far, yes.
publisher, yeah, any publisher in the US, if you're being called. So yeah, show us. Beautiful. So that's your first one.
That's the first one.
It's beautiful.
And on the back, you can see the compass.
Yes. And then
And this is the second one, the Arctic portal. And that's a Samic drum with the signs on them. And also the compass in the
Yes.
back.
Wonderful. So again, if there's a publisher here, so an English version would be really great. And actually, you have a beautiful gift for us now, because you're going to read an extract of one of your book. And thank you for translating that to us, so we can, immerse in your beautiful writing. So which one are you choosing? Which one do you want to read?
Well, I think the Arctic portal would be maybe in this forum would be the best one. That evening, there was a Sami council in the Lavo, and the various shamans sat in a circle around the fire. It wasn't only Sami shamans, there were also guests from other countries, and the group consisted of both women and men. Annika found it interesting that they wanted diverse perspectives, and not only from other culture, but also from different genders and from those who sat around and listened. She thought it should be the same way at work, where it's often the loudest and the most powerful voices that dominate the conversation. There were much to learn from this for today's society. The theme for the evening was how they could support and protect nature. Pancho was also invited to the council, with Annika translating into Swedish. Finally, it was Pancho's turn. He stood up, surveyed the scene majestically, and began to speak, with Annika translating it as he went along. We must take care of Mother Earth, because like small children, we depend on her for nourishment, comfort, and knowledge. What would we be without clean water to drink and wash in? What would we be without trees and bushes that provide us with shade, protection, and firewood for warmth? What would we be without the animals that bring us joy, but also sustenance? What would we be without fresh and healthy vegetables, berries, fruits, and herbs? What would we be without a natural environment where we can wander and experience the grandeur of nature? Can we ever replace it with something else? It won't matter how much money, land, or other assets you have if you don't have Mother Earth resources. We are also naive if we believe that our significance is so great that Mother Earth will perish because of us. It is we humans who will disappear, much like other past cultures, and Mother Earth will simply shake us off like parasites from a body, then recover as after an illness. When he finished speaking, the silence was so profound that they could have heard a pin drop. The gravity and consequences of his words were clear, leaving no one untouched.
Thank you, Britta. I'm very moved. Very, very
moved.
Thank you so much. This is profound, and thank you for sharing the truth with us. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's profound. Oof. So you're going to offer another gift to us. This was really, really powerful. And the three people who are going to email you first, and your email will be on the conference website. So the three first people who know people who speak Swedish or who would like to learn Swedish, you're going to offer them your two books, and you're going to ship it to them. So that's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Thank you so much. Again, everyone speaking Swedish, or you know someone who speaks Swedish, you know, so please, you know, send your email to Britta, and she will send you the books. That's really generous of you. I thank you so, so much. Again, it was an honor to receive your wisdom and your beautiful experience as you blossom, you know, through bringing birth to your vision. So thank you so much for honoring that in you. It's an inspiration for all of us.
And thank you so much, Celine, for having me. It's been an honor.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's been here.
And thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.